Velkommen til Hestedyrlægerne, en podcastserie fra Boehringer Ingelheim. I disse podcast taler vi med specialister inden for forskellige fagområder vedrørende hestens sygdomme. Alle har det til fælles, at de deler din og vores passion for heste. Velkommen til Hestedyrlægerne, podcasten til dig, der er dyrlæge eller VSP og arbejder med heste til daglig. Mit navn er Gorm Kasser. I tredje og sidste afsnit med Nina Lundgren taler vi om udstyr og bid. Et spørgsmål, der er både svært og relevant og optager vores hesteejere meget.
Welcome back again for the third episode in this podcast series about dental issues in horses with Nina Lundgren. Welcome, Nina, again to the talk.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So this time I wanted to talk to you about equipment and especially then bridles and bits, because that is a main issue that you're working with a lot, and also something that I imagine horse owners have lots and lots of questions about. And it might also be that they don't only ask them to the super specialized dentistry vet, but also to their general practitioner vet who comes out. So maybe in a bit to guide your colleagues around this jungle of an area, I thought we could discuss the bits and bridle issues. There are and ongoing discussions, and as I said, it's a jungle out there. And I guess the most common question that you would get is, what bit should I be using? How does one answer such a question?
That's without a doubt the most common question regarding bits. Which one is the nicest?
Yeah.
And it's like, if you should go into a store for shoes, running shoes, and you would say, okay, which of your shoes is the nicest or the best? That, of course, depends on your foot, not on the brand of the shoe or the form of the toe box or whatever. So it's exactly the same with a bit. There isn't one bit that's the better bit or the nicer bit. And to be honest, what is the biggest problem when a rider have a problem with the bitting isn't really the bit. Because the problem is often between the reins and the saddle.
Mm.
Yeah. It's the rider having a too hard hand, too unstable hand. Not giving hand, it's just a taking hand. Mm. So the horse won't get the release it needs for circulation in the corner of the mouth, for example, or they have two short side pieces of the bridle, so that the bit is too far up in the corner of the mouths. And that means two things. The first thing is that the corner of the mouth will be in constant pressure, and constant pressure against the tissue will create a loss of circulation that will create severe pressure wound issue.
Mm.
And the longer you have that prolonged pressure, the worse problem you will get. And if you on top of that will add the rider pulling the reins, it will be even worse. The second is that when you pull the corner of the mouth upwards the ear with the side of the bridle, you will flatten out the lips. That also will be one of the points that the bridle will lean on into the mouth, because the lips aren't just the closure on the outside, they are, if you open the mouth and look, they are really going into the mouth and covering the bars of the mouth, and they are really sensitive. So if you just put a bit in the mouth of the horse without attaching it to the reins or attaching it to the side pieces, then the horse will have only contact between the bit and the tongue, the lips, and eventually the palate.
Mm.
Not the bars. It's not until you start to wiggle the bit or to draw in, pull in the corner of the mouth, that the lip will go out of the way and will open up for the bars to be in contact with the bit instead.
Mm.
So by just elongating your side pieces so that the bit will come into just contact with the corner of the mouth without creating wrinkles, just in contact with the corner of the mouth without creating wrinkles. That's the receive. Then you will have a more sensitive mouth that will the horse will have less problem because they will have less numbness in the mouth. It will have the opportunity to put the bit a little different places in the mouth by itself, 3 millimeters up or down, or play with it in a complete different matter. And that will create a shift of the pressure points that will give opportunity for better circulation and lesser wounds.
Mm.
Also, the horse will have the opportunity to feel the rider's communication a lot better.
Mm.
And that means that the owner or the rider don't need to pull as hard to communicate.
Yeah.
Suddenly you have this horse that have everything just works.
Mm.
The big issue is that most of the riders today, or a lot of the riders, I should say, because a lot of the riders also have learned to choose right, but a lot of them have a too long bit.
Mm.
And they have 12.5, 13.5 bits in the mouth. And we don't have those horse material left anymore. It's the old half blood breeds. Of course, they could have 12 and a half, 13 and a half. But today, the horses, we have inbred a lot of thoroughbred in our horse, warm bloods today.
Mm.
All completely different mandible width. That means that you need to reduce the size of the bit, but people don't do that. They have the same bit as they were riding with, or the bit size that they learned to ride with 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's really a problem. So when they try to elongate the side pieces of the bridle, the bit will hang like a hammock and create a lot of chewing activity and putting the tongue above the bit and create a lot of other issues with the horse because the bit is too long.
Mm.
So you have to reduce the size so that the bit is equal to your running shoe. It should be just neat, tight on your foot.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be too big and shouldn't be too small. And if you really need to choose the size, go for slightly too small, then slightly too big regarding bits, because the sliding at least in the English way of riding will create a lot of problem because you have this constant pressure. If you look at Western riding, for example, you have completely different way of the contact of with the rein pressure isn't the same at all, so you can have slightly bigger bits there, but in the English type of riding you really need to be sure that you don't have too large bits, because that will create a lot of problems, especially if you have this three piece or double jointed mouthpiece, because you have if that's 1 centimeter or 2 centimeters too big, when you pull the one of the reins, the bit will slide quite a lot through the mouth, and the joint between the middle part and the side part of the mouthpiece will bend directly over the bars and will pinch the lip and the gum of the bars and create a lot of damage.
Mm.
And that will create instantly a horse that will be less sensitive to the bit. It will the answer when the horse is having a pain from the bit is to lean on the bit. It's the easiest way the horse can like handle the pain is go against it.
Mm.
And it's also a way to let the bit be more stable in the mouth is just to lean in it. And that will create another over or another pressure that's too big.
Mm.
And what happens when the horse starts to lean into the bits to like handle the pain is that the whole weight of the horse is projected forwards. So it will get a lot of weight on the front legs with problem in the elbows, problem in the fetlocks, problem in the whole front leg, to be honest.
Mm. Mm.
And you will have serious riding problems and the horse will go lame.
Mm.
So it's you will have just both front limb problems. You will have back problems often, and you will have neck problems, and you of course will have mouth problems.
Yeah.
Just because using a lot too long bit, and it's so unnecessary. So try to advise the owners to shorten up the bit as far as is possible and choose the length in the right height. And you remember it is just in contact with the corner of the mouth without creating wrinkles. That's perfect. And if you have a bit with the loose rings, just adapt it so that you can turn the rings inside the bit without pinching the horse. The corner of the mouth, and if you have D rings or egg butt rings, then it should look a bit too small.
Mm-hmm.
That's perfect. But always try, just put it in the mouth without the bridle attached, and try to pull the bit to the sides approximately in the correct rein direction, and see will it like stay there.
Mm.
Will it slide through the mouth? Because you want something that's stable but not pinching.
So rather than what type of bit is more important than is how it fits and also how the rider hands.
Exactly. You're completely right. It's not the type of bit. It's the size and the fitting of the bit and the rider's hands.
Yeah,
because if you have good hands, you could be riding in just wire.
Yeah,
do you understand what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
It's the hand that's creating the problem. The only bit that the horse can destroy its mouth by itself without you doing something with the reins is a too long bit, because that too long bit it will be able to chew on. And the chewing will reduce or destroy the teeth, because the grinding of the metal against the tooth isn't that it will destroy the tooth in a very short time.
But if we turn the question around, then I guess that there aren't any bit that you strongly not recommend either, that you definitely say no absolutely not this one, or
oh this is one of my favorite subjects. How should I explain this in a political correct way? Well, I'm not political correct anywhere, so why should I be this here? It's a writer's lack of knowledge, lack of understanding how the bit exerts pressure and when it does it, that is the big problem. And they tend to buy bits out of shininess, coolness, and what the professionals show off on pictures. And often it's on these pictures, I see combinations that the average or the pro pictures, that average rider would never be able to ride the horse on, not even in the walk, because it will destroy the horse's mouth when you have a hard hand or not a forgiving hand or an unstable hand or not understand when to use what. Because different bits has, of course, different way of applying pressure in the horse's mouth, and they are moving differently. If you have a curb bit, for example, you have one way of interfere with the tissues in and around the mouth, and with the snaffle bit, you have complete different mouthpieces does their different work. And if you go to gag bits, which I hate, if it's something I hate, then it's gag bits, because they are really, really, really high on the list of creating damage in the mouth. Both because the structure of the bit or the bit action will create pinching points and often leverage as well. And the rider or the rider's inability to understand how to use it. All this, everything from the Pessoa bit, the ones with four small rings or one big one and three small rings, as I think most of you know what I mean, to regular Cheltenham gag, they are absolutely hazardous for especially the gums of the bars, and destroys even the first cheek teeth and the lower jaw. Creates damage in on the inside of the lip. I'm so sad that it's such a purely understood bit, because probably there is a correct way of using it. I couldn't find out how, and I don't think that anyone really know. If you buy a gag bit or see someone use a gag bit, please advise them to have really, really, really the mouth checked after every session with that bit, and regarding to the both the corner of the mouth on the inside and in the corner, and also the bars and the overlying mucous membrane and the tongue, because it's really, really able to destruct different tissues in the mouth.
But speaking then of owners, because I think you will find that in many other areas as well, that US vets are working with it. How do you explain in a polite and pedagogic way that the rider can, by changing the way that they ride or keep their horses, that they can do a lot to help them? How what's your best tricks in communicating that message?
My best trick is to ask them to get the bridle and to show them what happens on the sedated horse that will have its head still. And when they pull the reins, they will see, when I lift the lip, they will see how it will just, especially with that gag bit, how it will dig into the mucous membrane and just scoop it up against the first cheek tooth and compress it there. And then when they feel the hand, the feeling that they are so used to with, and see with the eye what this is creating in the mouth, that's enough. You don't need to say so much, just to show. And also with this, with the bitting advices, when you need to lower the bit and often reduce the size, sometimes 3 centimeters, it's not uncommon, to show them and to put the reins on this correct sized bit. And so they can try out by themselves. And when you have the right bit in the right height, and then if you just ask them to play with the reins and get their usual feelings, of course the horse is sedated, so it won't answer in the same way, but they will feel the difference. And when you then just shorten the side pieces just by holding the side pieces higher, it's super easy to mimic the shorter side piece in riding, they will instantly feel the numbness or the numb feeling in it's not that it's like putting this what's it called in a trumpet, when you put something in the trumpet bowl to get another sound, this little silencer. When you raise the side of the bit, shorten the side pieces, it's like exactly the same feeling as putting that number or that silencer in the trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
And you elongate the side pieces again, it's like getting the trumpet to sound high and loud and clear again. So it's a super cool feeling, and everyone says like, wow. So instead of just talking, that can be like hard to, it's a kind of a yelling when you try to just say that you have done wrong.
Mm-mm.
Instead of do that, just show them. So bring some bits. Take some cheap ones, 10.5, 9.5, 11.5 in D-rings or Igbats, and like 10.5, 11.5, 12.5 in loose rings, and bring that in your car, and you can show everyone. And it's suitable. Those sizes are suitable for most of the horses, and it's big difference. And if you show the difference, if you have let's say you have looked into 6 mouths in one stable in one day, show the owners the difference in how the mouth really looks. If you look at the palate form, some is like a church roof and some is completely flat, so it's a big difference. And of course the same bit will exert completely different pressure in the mouth that has a church roof compared to a completely flat one.
Yeah, of course.
Because when the mouth is closed, there is no space for bit. The horse has to create a space for the bit by retracting the tongue.
Yeah. So showing and demonstrating is a better way of communicating your message than to the riders than explaining and telling it. It sounds like a good idea.
If you just say, I think I know how to help you.
Yeah, yeah.
Or help your horse. And then you show. Because that will be a aha moments, and aha moments you will never forget.
Yeah, and I guess also that it's rather uncommon that someone will come back to you and say, well, now riding isn't as easy anymore, or it's getting worse, the riding, you know.
No, but to be honest, if you have an older horse, like 14, 15 years old, that always has gone with this, or been ridden with this slightly too big and slightly too shortened side pieces. When you correct that and put a shorter bit further down in the mouth, he will suddenly feel that this is awkward. I liked it how it was before. I want it as it was before. And it will start to jiggle with the bit. And in that case, sure, do it like just a small step at a time. Don't take two holes on each side at the first step and shorten the bit 2 centimeters. Do it like in small steps to get the horse used to it. And also, if you have this rider with a very unstable hand, when the horse suddenly feel everything you do much more intensely, then it will react much more. So the unexperienced rider with the jumpy hand will probably find that the horse is like, ah, I don't know what to do about it. And then it won't be rideable. So you have to tell them that this can happen.
So moving on then to another important part. We've been talking a little bit about the side parts of the bridle, but when it comes to other aspects of bridles, I mean, there are so many different kinds now, and they're called anatomical bridles, and there are some of them don't even look like bridles anymore. But are there any bridle then that is better than the next, or what are your thoughts about that?
To start with, I don't take the word anatomical for granted, because often a lot of manufacturers uses that to sell more. But to be honest, it isn't more anatomic. And once again, it's depending on the horse. You can't say that a bridle is anatomic if you don't say it's anatomically fine for this horse. Because the conformation of one horse head isn't the same as another. So you have different pressure points on different heads and on different bridles. And also, if you look at where the nerves are running over the face, it's different on all horses. And every surgeon know that. That's why it's so hard when you need to go through the cheek for something, because you have to check for the vessels and the nerves all over the place, because it's not like you can always go two fingers in front of this or from there or in between there or two thirds there. It doesn't work that way in a horse's head. They are different from individual to individual. Another common problem is the brow band being too short, which creates pressure that when the side pieces are pulled too close to the temporal bone, and just below the temporal bone we have the vessels and big nerves running, so that can create head shaking problems. For instance, if you look at the headpiece that goes behind the ears, all the manufacturers have their own ideas of making this kind of anatomical, but no one really succeeds in doing this right. You'll have a lot of pressure against all the ear muscles. There are 10 ear muscles. That's completely amazing. And when you get ear pressure or pressure against these small ear muscles, you will have irritation and tensions, and you don't want that when you're riding. If you wear goggles by yourself, then you know that it's so nice to take away those goggles, because you can let go of that pressure against your ear muscles on the back of the ear, at least if they are not adjusted right. So think of that when you look at the neck piece of the bridle. And often if you go back to the side pieces, when you have a normal snaffle bit, that's most common. When you pull the reins, the not just the bit, but also the side pieces will change place. The side piece will slide down the chin and just go back and forth over the skin, just topping the row of teeth. And if you have sharp teeth, that will press the chin into the all these small sharp edges of the teeth, and that will of course be a problem. And if you have less cement on the edges of the teeth, that's also a common finding in the horse's mouths today, then it's super easy to get this sharp enamel points that really pinch the mucous membrane So, and that will hurt. So then it's very smart to find a bridle that will have some kind of solution that makes the side pieces rest over bone instead of over teeth. So, for example, a well-adjusted Miklem, Rambo Miklem, that's one alternative. You have Eponia, the Swedish brand. They have a new one called Verity that I like as well. Really smart solution. And I think it's, once again, look what happens, not just when you put the bridle on spot on the horse's head. See what happens also when you pull the reins, when the side pieces moves.
So in general, you could say it's almost like with the bits that it's more the fitting than the actual kind of bridle.
And then everyone talks a lot about this neck problem. And I'm not sure that it's really the bridle issue. It's always also this tension issue that has with the noseband to do, that when you tighten the noseband too much, you will restrict the tongue movement. That's why that's one of the ideas behind tightening the noseband. And when you still the tongue and the horse tries to maneuver the tongue anyway, then you will have tension in the hyoid. And the hyoid have one of its connection points up in the neck. So I think that is a lot to do with that as well, with the neck problems. And if you look at all these, if you look at the PS bridle, for example, they have this special neck thingy, and it's wide and it's thick, and it will compress a lot of tissues, and it's quite heavy. So just by having that place there will create pressure. And if you then put a double bridle with two heavy bits, the gag bit and the bridum bit in the horse's mouth, you will have a lot of metal weighing down that neck piece as well. By going for light bits and less leather, I think we can maybe solve a lot of horses' problem instead of just creating bigger, wider, more padded, more everything. To just go back to the easiest possible.
Yeah, you touched on nosebands. Just really short. Does it matter which one you have if you tighten them too hard, or is it always the tightness that matters, or does different nosebands do different things?
Back to the anatomy of the horse.
Yeah.
And of course they have different way of action as well. If you look at the young horse, it's smarter to use the remont style, the one that you tie below the bit, because you have a lot of they are shredding teeth from the age of 2 to the age of 3.5, and then they will have these bumps and lumps. The bumps on the cheek, both the upper and the lower cheek. So the English style won't be good there. You don't want pressure on those bumps. So then it's better to have that remote style noseband. You have the Mexican. I think that's more of a favorite of mine if I have to choose. You can slide that little cross piece. The Mexican is the cross. It's a cross on the top of the nose or the head, and you can slide that up and down, and by that change all the pressure points to shift them from day to day. So that's super easy to change pressure points, because everything you will put in the mouth or put around the mouth will exert pressure and will create a possible site of damage. So by changing the pressure points day to day will at least lower the incidence of damage, or lower the grade or damage. So that's quite smart. And that goes with a bit less bridles as well. You get rid of a lot of pressure points in the mouth, but you will the same amount of pressure that the rider will give in the reins or taking the reins will be exerted on other points instead. So you won't like get rid of pressure points just because you're going for a bitless bridle, but you will change them.
Yeah.
That can be really good sometimes. Mm. So I think that a bitless bridle is on good to have switch as an alternative once a week or twice a week or so. Both because it's a relief for the horse to all the pressure points in the mouth, but also because it's not so loud on the horse's on the signals for the horse, except for the mechanical hackamore, because it's quite a lot of signals as well. But then you need to use your seat, your butt, and your legs a lot more. Your weight distribution, and your voice, and then you learn the horse to be more alert to those signs, and you really need to like learn that left leg to do what you say. So you learn how to ride with your body more when you use the bitless bridles or just in your halter.
It's a good
test to see if your ground or basic riding skills and the horse educate ground or foundation exercises really sits if they're really secure in the knowledge base of the horse and the rider. So it's good to do that once in a while.
Switch between different types. Yeah, that's a good tip as well to bring along to your colleagues that they can forward. So to wrap this up a little bit, if then an equine vet is listening to this and he or she wants to learn more about bits and bridles and specifically, because I mean, dentistry, there are lots of books and good courses and education programs and so on. But if you want to learn specifically about bits and bridles, what do you think is a good source of information? There are lots of sources of information, but some of them are less good than others, I would suspect. So what is a good source?
Well, I hope that my course will be a good source. That's at least my intention. It's a lot about physics, really, to understand the different tissues and how the tissues vary between individuals and how they react to pressure. Understand the equine brain and the signaling system. Understand the physics, how a bit will turn, what happens in the neck, what happens with the bit, why it works and how it works with different bits. And when you learn those basics, you can easily take the patient's bit and use your knowledge and your smart mind to realize that this could be good. This is probably just the hands, or this is just way wrong. You need to go with a completely different setup. Start with this instead. So that's my goal, to use my knowledge and what I've seen and all I've learned to find an easy way to understand bits and bit fitting in a way that creates less damage with the same hand, because that's the only thing we can do. We can't change the rider's hand. It's not our work. It's the trainer's work, the coach's work. What we can do is to limit the damage that that hand can do right now. Next time when we meet the same rider, it might be a different educational level on the rider's hands and balance, and then we can look at different solutions.
Mm. I think that's a very good conclusion and take home message as well to the vets out there listening to this. If you would have one take home message when it comes to this equipment and communicating with the horse owners for your equine vets colleagues out there, what would that be?
Show the owners how to inspect the mouth for damage created by the bit. And when you show them what's the problem in the mouth and show them what their bit will do when they are having pressure in the reins, they will understand by themselves, and then they will change their habits and what they are doing, and they will create miracles. So your job is just to show them.
Thank you so much, Nina, for this talk. I hope that your message will come across well to your colleagues out there, but I know there's a lot of very good equine vets working with dentistry as well. I hope this has been valuable to them as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tak fordi du lyttede til Hestedyrlærerne. Hvis du kan lide hvad du hører, så glem ikke at trykke på abonner på din podcast app, så går du ikke glip af nogen episoder. Du må også godt fortælle os hvad du synes ved at skrive en anmeldelse. Vi modtager også meget gerne tips om kommende gæster og emner, og vores kontaktoplysninger kan du finde i podcastbeskrivelsen. Vi høres ved snart.